Today's Issues continues on AFR.
And welcome back to this Tuesday edition of Today's Issues. Fred Jackson here, along with Ray Pritchard, kind of looking after the shop while the boss is away. Tim and Ed are in meetings this week. And right now we're joined, as usual, in this third portion of Today's Issues by Steve Jordahl. Steve, welcome.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, listen, we started the program by mentioning Democrats have been meeting this morning. They're trying to come together with some kind of resolve on what to do with their leader, President Joe Biden. And Steve, you've been kind of monitoring this. They're coming out of this meeting, and it looks like they're still divided.
Yeah, they need to. They feel like they need to have some kind of united front. Joe Biden says he's not going anywhere. And no one, they're not going to use the 14th Amendment, it doesn't look like, to get rid of him. And so they're stuck.
Yeah.
And so they went into this meeting hoping that they could come out. I think they kind of hoped they could come out supporting him and let's go forward, but they're still divided.
Yeah,
I don't know what's going on.
Of course, they're worried about their own political, personal futures in all of this, but they're obviously concerned about what the image of President Joe Biden is right now.
Yeah,
and he just simply cannot shake, Ray, what happened in that debate back almost 2 weeks ago now. Can't shake that. And the George Stephanopoulos interview last Friday didn't help him at all either, which is why I think we still have this divide in the Democratic Party.
We all saw it, right? We saw it. You can't unsee what happened in the debate. And the Stephanopoulos thing, look, kudos to George Stephanopoulos because he pushed him a little bit. And I don't think, was Joe Biden better with Stephanopoulos than the debate? Yeah, but just a little bit. Mm-hmm. He still had vacant stares and mangled syntax and sentences that didn't make much sense. So he's in real trouble. But who's in trouble, Steve, are those the senators who are, and the Democrats who are in the meeting today. What is the path forward for them? I don't know.
It's true. And I think we can't unsee what we've seen. So if he does well at some speeches, if he all of a sudden they get him the right platform shoes and he can walk without looking like he's 90 years old, we've still seen it. There's still the evidence. And I think what you're talking about, Ray, is absolutely right, because there's more than just the president at stake here. Democrats are terrified that not only will they lose the White House, but they'll lose the Senate and they'll lose more seats in the House, giving the Republicans more of a lock on the government and them almost no say in how things progress with the country. So, they're very worried at this point.
Well, and Republicans are enjoying watching the mess.
Yeah, it's been interesting to listen to the media talk about. My Twitter feed's been full of Joe Biden's done 10 appearances in the last 10 days. Donald Trump is sitting in his country club playing golf.
Yes.
You know what? The saying goes, if your opponent is hanging himself, don't offer him a footstool.
No.
Maybe that's a dark way of saying, If they're imploding, don't help them. Don't stop them.
Now, Trump did do an interview last night with Sean Hannity on Fox. And I guess one of the things they talked about is what a lot of people are wondering, who is Trump's VP pick?
Yeah, that's going to be the thing. And so he did talk to Hannity about this, and we'll listen to what he has to say. Cut 11.
We keep reading that there is a short list, and on the short list, we hear names like Senator Rubio, Senator Tim Scott, Senator J.D. Vance, Governor Burgum. Are those reports accurate? Are there other people maybe people aren't paying attention to? And when do you think you'll announce that?
We have a great bench in the Republican Party. The names that you mentioned, absolutely, they're under consideration. And I haven't made final decision, but I have some ideas as to where we're going. And a little bit, you know, we wanted to see what they're doing, to be honest, because, you know, it might make a difference. I don't know. I'm not sure that it would. But there are those that say Trump's waiting until he finds out what's going to happen with crooked Joe Biden. And we'll see what happens with Biden.
We'll see what happens with Biden.
I think he knows.
Yeah.
I think he knows exactly.
All right, Ray, let's pick your brain a little bit. What's your thoughts on this? Who's he going to go with?
Well, I saw today the New York Post had an editorial saying that they thought it ought to come down to between J.D. Vance, Burgum, and then they said Glenn Youngkin, the governor of Virginia. What you've heard his name floated in and out because they say Virginia's in play now. Mm-hmm. Maybe you get Governor Youngkin, you carry Virginia. That's another way to get a lock on the presidency. I said a few days ago, J.D. Vance, and I don't see what Burgum, who is a tremendously successful businessman, governor of North Dakota, but I don't see what he would really add to the ticket other than he'd be completely reliable. Rubio would be an interesting choice, but no, I'm gonna stick with my vote from last week. I'm gonna stick with J.D. Vance. What do you think?
They got a problem with Rubio in that he's from Florida too, and you can't have the president and vice president be from the same state according to the 14th Amendment of the Constitution, or 12th Amendment, sorry, mm-hmm. of the Constitution. Someone could change their residence.
Yeah. Hey, listen, but Donald Trump's a great businessman. They're teasing this out. Lara Trump, who is the chair of the RNC, was also on Fox this morning and had some things to say about the lead up to the convention. Cut 13.
Yeah, well, look, these themes reflect, I think, the concerns of the American people and what they're talking about right now at their kitchen tables. Make America wealthy again. Look, we've got to bring inflation down. We've got to bring gas prices down. The people of this country want somebody to bring us back our energy independence. Make America safe again. Ainsley, you just heard the southern border is a disaster. Every state is a border state, and people across this country are very concerned about the impact it's having in their communities, about the fact that we have crime skyrocketing all over this country. Make America strong again. We want to have our standing back on the world stage. We want peace agreements, not wars around the world. We know who brought this to us, and we know who brought us American greatness. It was Donald Trump.
Yeah, so there you have it. So the Republican Party right now is sitting kind of pretty.
Yeah,
they're watching, the family feud going on inside the Democratic Party with Joe Biden. And Ray, honestly, I don't think the controversy in the Democratic Party is going to go away quickly. We just talked about this meeting of Democrats today. They're coming out still divided. This is a great playbook for the Republicans right now.
Okay. We talked about this earlier, but I want to ask the question. I'm thinking out loud here. Let's suppose you're a Democrat, operative Democrat senator, and you know, you've seen it behind closed doors, and you know this is a disaster to keep Joe Biden on the top of the ticket. But here we are. This is July the 9th. I mean, I don't know how many days we are away from the election, but it's not very many, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. If you're not going to use the 25th Amendment, which they would not do to their own guy, they just wouldn't do it. Is there any other way to get him to step down other than him doing it voluntarily? I can't think of a way.
I think if I was a Democrat, the only hope would be that somebody very prominent in the Democratic Party would have to sit down with Joe Biden. And the name that comes to my mind is Barack Obama. That he would have to go over and have a meeting at the White House and say, Joe, for the good of the party, you're going to lose if you're still at the top of the ticket. The Democrats are going to lose. We'll have Donald Trump as the president again. Do you want that in the history books of the Joe Biden presidency? There's a period of grace to get out Joe Biden, and now is the time to do it in the next couple of weeks. In fact, you could rob attention away from the Republican National Convention next week if you call this news conference and said, for the good of the party, for the good of the country, I'm going to do this. That's kind of my, and I'm not a political analyst, but I would think it has to be somebody, Steve, with a stature of a Barack Obama to get through to Joe Biden right now, because Joe Biden is listening to Jill Biden right now, and she doesn't want to give up power.
Word on the street is that there is no love lost between Barack Obama and Joe Biden. And Joe Biden would not, I'm told, or I hear from various sources, not private, but it's all public, but He would not even Barack Obama would not be able to talk Joe Biden at this point out of his rut. And frankly, a lot of people are now saying it doesn't matter, because I want you to hear Van Jones, who's been one of the biggest apologists for Joe Biden up to this point. He's staunch Democrat. Nobody hates Donald Trump more. But he says no matter what Joe Biden decides to do, he's not going to be president for very long. Cut nine.
We're running Kamala Harris for president right now. That's who we're running. Nobody believes Joe Biden's going to be president in 4 years. And so we're in the worst possible world, because she can't defend herself. She has to defend him. We can't defend her. We have to defend him. If we're basically running Kamala Harris anyway, let's run Kamala Harris and let her get out there and defend herself and accept that's where we are. The reality is we are running Kamala Harris for president one way or the other. I'd rather run her for president in the strongest way rather than the weakest way.
Ray, Kamala Harris, I just don't see the American people locking in with her. Even strong Democrats, I know some people say, you know, the Democrats put Mickey Mouse at the top of the ticket, they would vote for Mickey Mouse. But Kamala Harris just irritates people, and she's got no record of doing anything significant for the party.
Everybody knows why Joe Biden chose her. It wasn't because of her popularity, her scholarship, her intellect, her formidable political thinking. She was a sort of a DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion choice for vice president. A good safe place to somebody to fill that position, never thinking that she might someday become the candidate. I do not think the American people, sure, you've got your, what do they used to call them, blue dog Democrats. They'd vote for a blue dog if he was running for at the top of the ticket. Sure. But there's this great mass of tens of millions of American people who could be persuaded one way or another. I do not think she is a persuasive candidate at all. That's almost a worse disaster for the Democrats. They are just in a mess, a pickle, if you will.
Yeah, well, folks, stay tuned.
Yeah.
We'll keep you up to date. All right,
Steve,
what else going on in the world?
All right, let me get my list here, because I do have a list. Uh-huh. All right, so we've been talking a little bit about the different demonstrations that we were seeing on campuses. They've kind of calmed down now, but they were anti-Israel, pro-Hamas, pro-Palestinian demonstrators. And then some arrests were made and some threats were made to these students. What happened to them? In most cases, and this is what's happening at the University of Texas in Austin, the students are kind of given a pass. So they arrested four students in Austin, and they're accused of failing to comply with directives and disrupting teaching and in some cases, destruction of property. Well, they have been given away what they are calling an alternative path to avoid suspension by proving you have learned from this experience.
Oh, brother.
So another school.
So does that mean? So you write a couple of paragraphs saying, I'm kind of sorry.
It doesn't say anything about reeducation. It just says you cannot, it's a deferred suspension. You can remain on students as long as you don't violate any additional university rules. They must also take an exam testing their knowledge of university rules and agree not to appeal the decision. So,
yeah, no consequences. No. That's what I read there.
So, what have you learned? Don't get caught. Okay?
Yeah, exactly. you know who did get caught? There's three deans at Columbia University in New York City that were caught texting some what they're calling anti-Semitic tropes during a meeting there. So the names of the deans are Kristen Crom, Matthew Pastashnik, and Susan Chang Kim, and Joseph Sorrett. And so basically, someone from the Free Beacon, I think, was looking over their shoulder. I have pictures of the tweets. They're not anything anti-Semitic. They're not denying the Holocaust. They're not, calling them names or anything. But what they are saying is, One of them says it's difficult to listen to this. I'm trying to keep an open mind to learn from this point of view, but I'm not getting it. One of them talks about the students or the Jewish experience on campus not being pleasant, and they're denying that, or they're not accepting that. It was enough so that the school has decided to suspend and fire three of the four. The fourth, Joseph Serrett, wrote a nice apology letter,
right,
to the student, saying he didn't mean to be anti-Semitic, and he hopes it never happens again. He'll learn a lot. So I think there's a backlash in this country on some of the campuses. There's a backlash. They're hearing from their donors.
Yes,
they're not getting money. If you dry up the money, it's amazing how the public policy will follow.
Ray, for years, we at American Family News have been reporting on the problem of anti-Semitism on campuses. But I think what happened as a result of the Hamas terrorist attack on October the 7th, which killed 1,200 Israeli men, women, and children, and within 48 hours, we saw pro-Hamas demonstrations on university campuses here in the United States. I think that shocked a lot of people. And the question is, Ray, how was this allowed to happen on our campuses? What is it about the nation of Israel, this tiny postage stamp of a nation squeezed between, you know, the Sea of Galilee and the Mediterranean, and squeezed in the north and squeezed in the south? What is it about the Jewish people that these folks, leaders on our university campuses, say it's all right to persecute them verbally and otherwise?
Well, it's a great miracle that the Jewish people have survived across 4,000 years from the time of Abraham in the Old Testament, going all the way back to the book of Genesis. And, you know, this is not new. Anti-Semitism is as old as the Bible itself. And, you know, Jacob and the boys end up down in Egypt, and then suddenly there rose a Pharaoh who did not know Joseph, and he begins to persecute the Jewish people. And so anti-Semitism has very, very deep roots. And you've got the Moabites and the Ammonites, and you've got the people coming and conquering them across the millennia. And even until 80 years ago, when Adolf Hitler did his best to destroy the Jewish people, yet they remain a people. And now they are an actual nation by the hand of Almighty God. Some people don't want to hear that, but it is true historically, it is true spiritually, it is true biblically. And let me just say this. What happened on October the 7th did not cause anti-Semitism. It was just like picking up the rock and shining the light on the anti-Semitism that had been buried inside culture, not just in America, but around the world. Now we see the hatred of the Jewish people is ultimately, I think, a hatred of God and of his eternal plan. It's prophesied. It's described in the Bible. And it is a truly ugly reality.
You know what? If there's something good that's coming out of this, I'm hoping that the Jewish people, especially here in America, see how they have great supporters in the evangelical Christian community. Those are the ones, because even some other denominations, Ray, do not stand with Israel. They stand actually with Hamas in all of this.
And it's been shocking to see. Look, war is awful, and death is awful, and the suffering is awful. But if you hate what has happened in Gaza, and I don't see how anybody could look at that and be happy about what has happened in Gaza. All you have to do is ask, who started this?
Yes.
Israel did not start this. Hamas started this, and they sowed to the wind, and they have reaped the whirlwind of retribution. If you want what is happening in Gaza to stop, then you need to get rid of Hamas, which is what Israel is trying to do.
That's their mission.
I agree with Ray that you cannot discuss the anti-Semitism in the world and what's going on in the United States without bringing in the spiritual component.
Yeah.
I think the people hate God, and they hate the things of God if they are not of God. Mm-hmm. The Bible's clear about that as well. And it's up and down the line. It's interesting that you don't find, I don't know that you could find maybe one or two, but I don't know you could find some of the any of these protesters on the campuses that are all that off campus or in another area are pro-life.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen them ally up with the homosexual allies and everything. The things that God loves, they hate. The things that God hates, they love.
Yes.
This is the world that's opposed to God, and it's up and down the line. You could find people on both sides of the aisle. The protesters might disagree on tax initiatives or that kind of a thing. It's not a biblical – God doesn't necessarily have a dog in that fight, as it were. It's not a biblical issue, but if it's a biblical issue, if it's a moral issue
–
You can just line them up as sure as shooting, and you can tell me one thing you believe, and I'll tell you 10 more.
Yeah,
and I'll be right 99% of the time. Do you think, Ray?
Maybe more than 99% of the time. Tell me what you believe over here, because worldviews, they tend to be a coherent package of you don't see people who hate the Jews but are standing up for the unborn. That just doesn't happen.
No. Yep. All right, we only got a minute and a half or so left. What
All
you got
right.
there?
Well, let's see if I got something that's well. They continue. This isn't necessarily really positive, but they continue to have shark attacks. The latest one now coming again in Florida. This is a 14-year-old boy that was bitten on the leg by a shark. He was in Volusia County, Florida. He was at a lifeguard training camp. I'm not going to blame the shark as much for this one, if you can blame the sharks. He jumped into the water and inadvertently jumped on top of the shark. Not a good start to your day. He was bit in the leg. It was not life-threatening or anything. He was taken out. He was treated. But, man, we're hearing a lot of stuff about
there
where the water.
A lot of incidents, Ray, in the up in the panhandle, Destin.
Right.
What is?
I hear that.
Yes, I'm hearing that. What's really been shocking too. Some of these attacks have occurred in very shallow water.
Yes.
You know, you think you stay out of the deep end. You don't go up. You don't go out there too far. But some of the sharks now are coming in. I don't know. Some people say they're chasing the minnows that are in the more shallow water. Along the panhandle of Florida there.
What are we supposed to learn from this, Fred? How about what our parents taught us? Look before you leap, right?
That's right.
A look. Yeah, don't assume if you're in 2 feet of water, there couldn't be a shark there. There could be. Take a look, folks, before you jump in.
That's scary stuff. And, you know, of course, it's summertime. A lot of people are going to the beaches And the beaches in Florida are gorgeous.
Yep.
They're beautiful.
Second to California beaches, but yeah.
we're going to dismiss that as extreme California bias.
Northern California.
Northern California. I have had my foot in the water in California, and it came out icy.
Says the Canadian.
No, you just worry
about
it.
It is cold.
It is cold.
It's beautiful.
All right. So we'll end our discussion on sharks.
Yeah, there you go.
But stay tuned. American Family News and our other great programming here at American Family Radio will keep you up to date on all the big stories of the day. Ray, great to have you with us today.
Thank you, Fred.
You're going to be back with us the next couple of days.
Yes, sir.
All right. And Steve, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Our thanks to Dr. Alex McFarland and to our producer, Brent Creeley, who keeps us all in line. As I say, stay tuned for more great programming here on American Family Radio all day long. All the best to you. Be a blessing to someone else today, folks, as you go out there and be that salt and light that we need to be in this time of spiritual warfare. We'll see you again soon. Bye-bye.